I got a chance to travel doing the road trip style down to Florida, and in the Orlando Kissimmee area, there is a place called Gatorland. It is different than some of the traditional theme parks in the way that is, you know, it's got free parking for sure. That's great. But also you get to be up close and personal with a lot of the animals, the gators. They got a bunch of different animals there, more than just gators. But when people think of things to go or places to go, things to see and do in the area, it isn't necessarily one that comes to mind. We all think of all of the iconic theme parks, you know, your Disney's and your Universals and SeaWorld. And those are great. I'm not saying people shouldn't attend those. We got a chance to talk with Tim Williams. He is a gator wrestler and a communication superstar for the world of Gatorland. He walks that walk, been doing it for 27 years. So, Tim, what is it about Gatorland that makes it so special and unique compared to the other parks?
This is just the premier park, the oldest theme park in Central Florida. We started in 1949, which I tell everybody is 25 BD. That's 25 years before Disney. And the original park was 16 acres. We're now 110. We're getting ready to open up our swamp buggy rides. We've got three great shows, Gator Wrestling, Gator Jumparoo, the Up Close Encounter Show. This year we have about 2,000 alligators, a couple of hundred crocodiles, and a plethora, which is a word I cannot spell, of other animals, birds and snakes and turtles, and it just goes on and on and on.
I was surprised to hear that there are more things than gators, but you got to think about this. You know, there are, I don't know if there are many animals out there in the animal kingdom that have intrigued so many or provided so much fascination for people young and old alike. People love the gators. In your opinion, as a guy who's been here for a long time and seen this, and certainly we'll talk about a lot of the other things going on, but what is it about the gator that makes it so interesting that 400,000 people show up here every year?
Well, I think it's the fact that their numbers in the wild have made such a great comeback. We now find them from coastal North Carolina, south through Florida, west along the Gulf States into Texas. So anytime you're in those areas, there's a good chance you're going to bump into a gator. Hopefully it's going to be at a place like Gatorland, but there's a good chance you'll bump into a wild gator. And one of the things we strive very hard to do is to help educate people about what these animals are about. I think, you know, our ignorance makes us afraid of things. Doesn't mean we'll fall in love with them as we learn more, but at least we can respect them and know how to live with them, because we're building our homes and our businesses in their backyards, and they've been here 20 million years. They're not going anywhere. When everything's wiped out of Florida, if that ever happens, I assure you there will be mosquitoes, cockroaches, and alligators still walking around.
You mentioned bumped into, and that is one of the things I think that has made them so relevant in people's lives, is that you always hear those stories of people encountering them in their backyard, in their pool, on their porch, in the road, at the golf course. So the gators, even though they are, you know, a mysterious and ancient animal and certainly dangerous, I think people can respect that, it is something we come in contact with.
It is, and they have this aura about them that people think they're out there waiting on us to show up so they
aren't
can go
they
around. Well, I certainly hope not. You know, I tell everybody the most dangerous thing we do at Gatorland every day is drive to and from work. That's far more dangerous than working with these animals, and it's dangerous working with them, but we kind of have an idea of what we're doing. Yeah. We hope we do, but the fact that they have attacked people, usually average somewhere between 12 and 20 attacks a year, which is not many when you consider how many gators are out there. And fatalities are very rare, very, very rare, even though it's no fun getting chewed on by an alligator or shark or God knows what. But I think if we learn that if you're going into places that's alligator habitat, if we learn what to look for and how to conduct ourselves, we can decrease the chances of us having an encounter with one of these marvelous animals.
Well, you mentioned the word learn, and education is such a big part of what happens here. What I love about it, and one of the things and the reasons I thought it was important to highlight what's going on here at Gatorland, is that you have, I think, a very unique and, of course, safety-minded, educational focus, proximity to them. You really get to get up close and personal.
You do. It's one of the few parks where we encourage people to take part in our shows. The Gator Wrestling Show is where we catch a gator between 6 and 8 feet long. It's not taped up, and our handlers get there to use the animal as a demonstration on how an alligator is made, what it can and can't do. Shows are fun, funny, but also very serious and very educational. And afterwards, people get an opportunity to come down and sit on that gator. We tape it up. We make it safe. But I can tell you all day long what an alligator feels like, but until you touch and hold an alligator, you don't know what it feels like and how it's made. And I think everybody walks out of here with a much higher respect for this animal than they had when they came in here.
Like a healthy respect and a personal appreciation for it. So Gatorland, let's talk about some of the different ways that people can see and interact with the gators. One of the things I love that we just don't have at the zoo, we got some great zoos up in Chicago, but you've got maybe one or two alligators, they just sit here. Here you see so many of them interacting in so many different ways and from pretty much every age group.
You do, and we have to segregate our animals by size, not so much age, but you put a 3-foot gator in with a 10-foot gator, he's probably going to try to eat him up because that's what they do. But we keep them segregated by size. Springtime, we see the gators bellowing and they're courting. They get very lovable. It's something to watch. And then they go on the nest. They're on nests now in the wild as well as at Gatorland. Lay their eggs. We collect the eggs. In the wild, they have to incubate on their own. A lot of animals predate the nest, which gives food for wild animals. Little babies are 6 to 8 inches long. Animals eat them. And if they grow up out of a nest of 25, if three of them can get to 3 to 4 feet, they've got a good chance of getting up to maturity. But to me, one of the interesting things is that little 6-inch baby alligator can grow up to be, if it's a male, say 14 feet and weigh 800 pounds. That's pretty doggone incredible.
So you get to see them here, you get to interact with them here, and it's got, you know, a lot of the elements of what you would expect at a zoo, but a zoo with a specific niche focus. But you build in some entertainment too. I mean, you can go zip lining, you can do some fun kind of a, you know, theme park style stuff here at Gatorland as well.
You can. We have a zip line course that has 5 towers and a bridge, and you go over alligators and crocodiles. And then we have the only, as far as we know in this country, possibly the world, what we call our gator gauntlet. It's for challenge folks. You can be a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. We have special harnesses and hoists. We can pick you up, put you on that zip line, and send you across our gator breeding marsh. And it's a single zip. But the opportunity for folks that would have to sit on the sidelines and watch their family can now participate with them. And it's been very, very popular.
It sounds cool, and is it a beautiful place, too, a peaceful place to get out there, walk around, kind of be at one with nature in this unique setting. And it is called Gatorland. They are the stars of the show. But let's talk about some of the other animals. I know that the kids just saw some Galapagos tortoises. You've got, it looks like, some cats here. What else can people see?
We've got Florida panther. We've got bobcat. We have an aviary where you can go in and feed the parakeets and the little birds. They get all over you. It's very colorful and very noisy, but a lot of fun. And then we have snakes and bugs, tarantulas and scorpions and all manner of stuff that we use in our up-close show. The interesting thing with that, though, is a lot of people don't like snakes. They certainly don't like tarantulas and stuff. But these animals have been handled. They're very friendly. They're very easy to handle. And to see someone hold a tarantula for the first time when they're really phobic, and they go, wow, that isn't bad. And it tried to help people get past some of the fears. Again, ignorance will generate fear, and if we can just alleviate, that doesn't mean somebody's going to go out here and start catching tarantulas. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to help folks get past that barrier that made them go, oh, I can't stand spiders. Spiders are good. They're really neat animals, and they're good to have around.
You know, as far as this attraction, this location, 400,000 people, and you think about it, so many species and exciting things that are kind of indigenous to the Florida area. But the attendees are not always. I mean, you get people from around the world.
We get them from all over the world. Probably about 60% of our guests are from what we call domestic, the United States. The rest of them come from all over the world. And about 60% of that comes from the U.K., The UK folks love us. They like nature, and that makes us feel good because they want to come see us, and they're very critical, and we must be doing something right.
In the spirit of education, what kind of questions do they ask? Because you think about it, people that live around here and even in America, but certainly Florida, you're sort of familiar, you know, with the alligator, maybe run into them. But in a place like England, I mean, this is as far away as possible. What kind of questions you get?
Well, how do you tell the difference between alligator and crocodile, which gators are darker, have a round nose, crocodile more of a triangular nose? We all get asked, have you ever been bit? We tell them, yeah, we make mistakes. We don't brag about those. We do make mistakes. And then what do you do if a gator starts coming after you? And we tell everybody, trip whoever you're with and then walk off. It's hot. You'll get sick running in a seat.
That's sage advice. You don't have to be the fastest. You just can't be the slowest.
That's
but
right.
But this is important education, though, too. I've always heard kind of zigzag. Is that true, or is that just something people say?
No, the zigzag theory came up a few years ago by somebody that's never been chased by an alligator. If you think about it, that theory says that alligators can only run straight, so if you run zigzag, they can't get you. Well, if they're running straight and you're running zigzag, you're going to bump into each other anyway. We tell people stay away from them. Respect them for who they are and what they are. They can't run a long ways. They can run a short ways very fast, easily outswim a person. Don't swim at night. Don't feed them. And if you think you have a problem with an alligator, call FWC, the Florida Wildlife Commission. They'll take care of it. We can't do it. We don't have the permits for it. They do.
Sage advice. Letting the listeners know we're talking with Tim Williams here at Gatorland. And you hit on it, too. The Internet is great, and you can get a lot of information from television, from books. But there is no substitute for actually being here. And just as people know about so many of the big iconic theme parks that people come to in the Orlando area, Gatorland is one of those places you definitely need to get to as well. Spend an afternoon, spend a day here as well at Gatorland, and be one of those 400,000 people. The 400,000 cannot be wrong. So, Tim, before we let you go, let us know. I know the parking is free, which is great. Let us know a little bit about the days that you guys are open and the website where people can get more information.
We're open every day of the year. Christmas is a big time. It's big time. Believe it or not, people are here and they want to go do something. They've already spent a pile of money on Christmas. Hey, we'll go see Gatorland. Check the web, gatorland.com, for specials. And you have to do reservations for the zip line. You can go on there and do your reservations. I think the interesting thing for me, I've been at Gatorland 27 years. I've been handling alligators for 44 years. And for me, this is the best place I've ever worked. It's wonderful. We couldn't do what we do if it were not for the big parks. But a family of four can get in here for less than one admission to the big parks. Again, our parking is free. And I understand there's a big selling point that we sometimes forget. There's no waiting at the ladies' room. I'm not sure what that's all about, but evidently the ladies say, oh, wow, I like that. So
you put that in the brochure.
Yeah, and springtime is great. March, April, May is a great time to get here because our breeding marsh have 130 gators in a very natural area, attracts all the native wading birds, and we have photographers from around the world come in here to see that. Swamp buggy is going to open up this fall. We have three swamp buggies that are going to ride through the back part of the property. So there's just a lot to see and do, and it's a great family park.
So much to see, learn, and appreciate and feel up close and personal right here at Gatorland. So Tim, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for taking time out, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Thank you. And WGN, I was telling you, I've been watching WGN TV for years. I listen to radio a lot. I travel a lot. So I'm going to find out where WGN is out there when I'm traveling through those areas. And the next time I get up to Chicago, I may give you a call and run by and see you.
38 states and Canada. Make sure, Tim, if you do stop by, bring a gator, and we'll bring it to the studio, and we'll educate, amaze, and maybe scare some of our other hosts.
Sounds good to me.